Welcome to Practical Christian Living.
When you begin to study prophecy, the future, you see that Israel is intertwined in the future. The last 7 years are a time of Israel's trouble, the Bible says. Jerusalem is a trembling cup to all the world. So Jerusalem, the whole world trembles. The Third World War, the Bible says, is because of Israel.
If you joined us for the first part of our commentary on Daniel chapter 7, you hopefully sketched out a good outline that will help you understand the prophecy told in Daniel's vision of the four beasts. If you didn't, don't worry. Stay with us as we continue to read and understand more of Daniel's amazing vision and the tremendous victory that lies ahead in the very last days. With part two of Daniel chapter 7, here's Robert Furrow, pastor of Calvary, Tucson.
Alexander the Great conquered the world by the time he was 28 years old. And then he cried because there was no more world to conquer. He can't conquer any more world, big baby. I don't know that I'd say that to his face, but I'm a couple thousand years removed. It's all right for me to do that now. So there's a third beast that comes after the Medo-Persian Empire, and it's the Greek Empire. Look at verse 6. After this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and the dominion was given to it. As I said, Alexander the Great conquered the world by 28. A couple years later, he was dead. And his kingdom was broken up into four different, there were four commanders that conquered the world with him. His kingdom was broken up into those four commanders. So this leopard has four heads and four wings, representing the four different distinctions of the Greek Empire that went on for a couple of hundred years. Now after that, there was the Roman Empire that came on the scene and conquered the Greek Empire. So we have another creature that comes out that represents Rome. Look at verse 7. After this, I saw in the night vision, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all of the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Like the legs of iron in Nebuchadnezzar's dream with 10 toes, this beast has 10 horns. Now let's talk a moment about the Roman Empire. We know that the Roman Empire, first of all, you had the Roman Republic, which turned into the Roman Empire. We know that they dominated the world rule, for about 1,000 years. We also know that they became so powerful that no army of the world was ever going to give them a run for their money. The battles, the wars that took place during the time of the Roman Empire were between Roman generals. They fought for control over Rome amongst themselves. Those were the battles that took place during those days, like Augustus and Mark Antony and other battles, other epic Roman battles that took place. But when Rome never died. Rome was never conquered. Let me put it that way. Rome was never conquered by another power. Rome fizzled out. And it fizzled out because of its morals. The perversion of the later Roman period is matched by none in history. When I say matched by none in history, the incest, the homosexuality of the late Roman period far outshadows anything that's taking place today. We look at the immorality in our world and today, and it is only beginning to get to the place where the late Roman era was with immorality. And that immorality caused them to be focused on pleasure, and that pleasure disintegrated Rome. It just kind of fizzled out. But the Bible tells us that there will be a resurgence of Rome once again. That just as Rome dominated the world in the early days with Caesar and Nero and Caligula and these other emperors, that there's going to be a world power that's going to arise. And it has 10 horns or 10 toes. And it's going to be a renewal of the Roman Empire. I believe it's the European Economic Community. It's interesting to me today, they're talking about restructuring the leadership in the European Economic Community to have 10 leaders. And when I read that, I wonder, do they read the Bible? If I were head of the European Economic Community, I would say, let's go with 9 leaders or 11 leaders. Let's not go with 10, because the Bible says that last world power has 10 leaders that are involved in it, 10 kings that are involved in this last revival of the Roman Empire. But then, out of those 10 kings, when the world is revived, when there's this revival of the Roman Empire that takes place, out of those 10 kings arises one king that dominates the world. He is so charismatic. He is so strong in his speeches that he wins over the world by just his presence and the things that he says. He's known as the Antichrist, Damien in movies, but he's known as the Antichrist, right? He comes on the scene out of these 10 horns that rise up. Now look what it says in verse 8. It says, I was considering the horns. Now we know that these 10 horns are 10 kings and the revival of the Roman Empire. And I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out. So this little horn destroys three of the kings, this little king, by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. You have now, in verse 8, in Daniel chapter 7, you have now been introduced to the Antichrist. He is the little horn with eyes and a mouth that speaks pompous words. And he mesmerizes the entire world. And since the last Roman emperor who ruled the entire world, there has not been one like the Antichrist who will rule the entire world. The whole world, the United States included, will agree to put a monetary system together that will be one. You know, today the problem is the strength of the dollar against the euro or against the euro against the yen or the shekel in Israel or wherever you at, whatever the currency is. Well, their solution is to come up with one world currency, which will solve the problem, take down borders for trade, having free trade everywhere, and everybody becoming under the European Economic Community. The world will vote in the Antichrist. He will literally dominate the world. Now, you guys have just read in eight verses. You guys just read in eight verses the history of the world from the time of Daniel until now. It's been that quick. You thought I went on for a long time, but hey, I did the history of the world in that time, both past and future. We have the four great kingdoms of the world being Rome. And if you look at that and you think, well, the Antichrist is going to rise and that's going to be the end. The end will be the Antichrist. Well, kind of. See, there's a shift in Daniel's vision in verse 9. Look at the change. He now moves from the earth and what's taking place on earth, and he goes to heaven. Look at what it says. I watched till thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and his hair on his head was like pure wool. It's kind of a scary verse. He says, and suddenly I looked, and the Ancient of Days was seated. This is God Almighty. This is the one who has created the heavens and the earth. It is God the Father. And the Ancient of Days comes and he sits down and he has a white robe and he has white hair. It's a little scary. And his throne is full of fire. Look at what he goes on to say. He says, his throne was a fiery flame. Its wheels, a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. And a thousand thousands ministered to him. What an epic scene. The Ancient of Days sits down on a fiery throne with wheels like fire and a lava river that runs from the throne. And a thousand thousand angels are ministering to the Ancient of Days. And not only that, the middle of verse 10. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. This is a picture of the judgment day when the Ancient of Days is seated on his fiery throne and 10,000 times 10,000 stand before the Ancient of Days. And you will either be judged for every work that you have ever done, every bad thing you've ever done will be judged, or you will call him Daddy. Dad, how you doing? Good to see you. You have either entered into a relationship with by the Spirit, you call him Abba Father, or you will be judged by the Ancient of Days. I'm so glad I have opted for the first one. Years ago, developing a relationship with the Ancient of Days, and it says, this is scary too, it says that 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, the court was seated, and the books were opened. Everything that's written in that book we'd be judged by, and it is only by the blood of the Lamb that anything could be erased from that book. The blood of the Lamb has erased everything that I've ever done. Even if God wanted to judge me, he'd open it up and go, can't find anything. It's been lost. Guess you're free to go because it's been lost. It's only by the blood of Lamb that anything can be erased from the book that is opened. Now the scene changes again. Daniel goes from the Ancient of Days being seated during the Day of Judgment, which is at the same time, it's right after the Antichrist comes on the scene. He goes now back to the Antichrist. His mind is thinking of the Antichrist, as many people's are, by the way. Verse 11, I watched, and because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking. So he's distracted away from the scene of judgment by the words of the Antichrist, speaking these pompous words, and he looks and says, what the little horn talking about? And I watched till the beast was slain and the body destroyed and given to the burning flame. And for the rest of the beast, they and their dominion were taken away. Their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. He says, I watched and the beast was destroyed. And there's no climax here. It's like, here's the Antichrist. He's got his little me, 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 me. He's going off with his pompous words. And then the beast is destroyed. What beast? The last great and terrible beast with the teeth like iron and claws like bronze that the Antichrist comes out of. It's destroyed. If this were a Hollywood movie, the beast would come back to life 5 or 6 times. It'd be like, we killed it. No, it came back. We killed it again. Oh, it came back. We killed it again. Oh, it came back. And so finally, whew, all right, we defeated it. But God doesn't do that. God just finally goes, it's done. It's time. It's finished. And the beast is destroyed. And it just states it. It's destroyed. So he sees the Ancient of Days seated. He sees this last world power, the revival of the Roman Empire, destroyed. Then verse 13. And I watched in a night vision, in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man. Jesus refers to himself as the Son of Man 80 times in the Gospels. There's no doubt that this is Jesus coming on the scene. The Father was the Ancient of Days who was seated. He says, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom. To all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. That all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. You remember in Nebuchadnezzar's dream that the 10 toes are tapped on by a rock that is not made with human hands, and the whole statue collapses, and wind blows away the statue, and the rock grows until it fills the whole earth, and of that kingdom there is no end? That's Jesus. Jesus is the rock. I told you there were 4 major kingdoms in the world, only 4. We've covered them today. But there's a fifth that comes on the scene. The reason I don't include it in the 4 is because the fifth is not of this world. There are 4 of this world, but there is a fifth kingdom that there is never an end. There's an end to the kingdom of the Antichrist, but there is never an end to the kingdom of Jesus Christ. Now, the scene shifts again, and he goes back to thinking about the Antichrist. He's like a lot of people today. He can't get away from the Antichrist. So the scene shifts again in verse 15. I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the vision of my head troubled me. And I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of this. So he told me and made known to me the interpretation of these things. Those great beasts which are 4 are 4 kings which arise out of the earth. But the saints of the Most High shall receive the kingdom, and the possession of the kingdom forever and ever and ever. Then I wished to know the truth of the 4th beast, that's the Roman Empire and the revival of the Roman Empire, which was different from all of the others, exceedingly dreadful, with teeth like a lion and its nails like bronze, which devoured and broke in pieces and trampled the residue with his feet. He says, I want to know, what is this? And the 10 horns that were on its head, and the other horn which came up before which 3 fell, namely, the horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. He had something just about the way that he looks that he can persuade people. I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Now, the Bible tells us that the Antichrist makes war against the Jews. He is anti-Semitic. He signs a peace treaty with the Jews, which begins the last 7-year period of trials and tribulation. But in the middle of the tribulation, he breaks the peace treaty and he attacks the Jews. And God supernaturally takes Israel into the wilderness and protects them supernaturally. Verse 22, It says, until the Ancient of Days came, and a judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it to pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings. That's what it says in verse 24. We don't have to guess. People can't say, no, you're wrong. Because if you say, no, they're not 10 kings, you're wrong. It says here, they're kings. Who shall arise from his kingdom, and another shall arise after them, and he will be different from the first ones. This is the Antichrist. And he shall subdue three kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High. He speaks his arrogant words against God. See, people today that speak against the Most High, I think most recently of Bill Maher, are Antichrist. I'm not saying Bill Maher is the Antichrist. I'm saying he is Antichrist. When you are pompous against God, you are now Antichrist in doing so. You have the spirit of Antichrist. The Antichrist himself, with his pompous words and with his demeanor that wins people over, just turns against God, and he creates an entire government that is anti-God. We're heading that way. We're kicking God out of the schools. You can't pray. Well, in schools, for any kind of event, we're removing God as far as we can. It's just preparing for the step of the Antichrist who speaks pompous words against the Most High. Middle of verse 25, he shall persecute the saints of the Most High. That is, he's anti-Semitic, he hates Israel, and he actually persecutes Israel. And shall intend to change times and laws. Now, this is another thing that's told us about the Antichrist. He tries to change times and laws. Now, how do you change times? This has caught the imagination of many. Some believe that he actually is on the edge of being able to discover time travel. Maybe. I don't know. But perhaps so. I think more so what it means is that time today is divided by the birth of Jesus, BC and AD. Now, people try to remove that by saying BCE, before common era, not wanting to say before Christ, giving it, you know, away from Jesus. But I think the Antichrist is going to say this. We aren't going to divide history no longer by Jesus. We're going to divide history by me. And he'll restart the calendar on his own terms. He'll seek to change times and laws. That's how grand his agenda is. And it says, then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and a half a time. For 3.5 years, he's going to be able to make war against Israel. But the court shall be seated. Back to verse 9, when the court's seated, or verse 10, when the court's seated. But the court will be seated, and they shall take away his dominion. Again, there's no drama here. It just says they take away his dominion. I want to know more details. I want to have it drawn out a little bit. I want to know what the Antichrist said and how it moved. But just, you know, then they moved his dominion. They were just like, go away. Okay, the Antichrist leaves. He's done. All of his pompous words are finished. Doesn't make a very good movie, but it reveals to us how powerful God is, that God finally says the beast is finished and the Antichrist is done. The court is seated, his dominion is taken away. It goes on to consume and destroy it forever. His kingdom is gone forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdom under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High, that is Israel and the church with them. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. See, folks, when we talk about prophecy, people, even in the world, will say, well, all you guys want is destruction. You're looking forward to that 7-year period, and there's big, you know, meteors that hit the earth, and there's creatures with hair like a woman and teeth like a lion and tail like a scorpion, and 75-pound hailstones that hit the earth, and that's what you want. No, it's not. I don't look forward to those days for anyone. I wish that everyone would escape it. The Bible says that the reason it hasn't happened yet, Peter says there's scoffers are going to come in the last day saying, oh, come on, it hasn't happened. For 2,000 years, it's been dormant, is what people say today. And I always say, well, yes, 2,000 years closer now than it was then. Just around the corner for us, I believe. But that's not what I look forward to. I look forward to the greatest time this world will ever see, when Jesus Christ will return and establish his kingdom upon the earth. And the tribulation period It's just a speed bump in the way. It's actually more like a mountain in the way, but nevertheless, it's just something in the way. We look forward to that glorious day, but we know from what the Bible says, there will be a revival of the Roman Empire. There will be 10 kings that will arise. One king will subdue three of them and become the Antichrist. We know this is going to happen. We know it's going to take place. See, God has given you information about the future. God gives it to us because he wants us to be confident. God does not. When you ask, why would God give us this information? Why would God tell us that? I think there's one reason. God doesn't want you living for this world. The Bible says the end of Revelation, the end of Daniel. I'll close here. It says in the end of Daniel, the righteous will become more righteous, but the ungodly will become more ungodly. There's a polarizing effect taking place on the earth. More and more people are becoming righteous, and the intensity of Christians towards God is growing greater. Praise God. More and more people are becoming wicked, and the intensity of their wickedness is getting greater as well. There's a polarization taking place in the world, and it will finally come to that last final battle that will take place between the Antichrist and his forces and God's people, namely at that point Israel that has been restored and now believes in Jesus as their Messiah. The end of Revelation is similar. The end of Revelation says, let the filthy become even more filthy, and let the righteous become even more righteous still. It's that same polarization that takes place in the last days. We are living in those days. Let us walk before the Lord. Let us live in such a way that is worthy of the calling we have received. We know where this world's going. Jean Dixon will come up with her predictions, or whoever it is will come up, whether it's Dion or Eric Estrada with their commercials for the future. But it's only God who has said, the things I tell you, Isaiah 46, they will surely come to pass. Let's stand up and pray. Father, we are again so thankful for your word. All that we find here in the pages of Scripture. We're so thankful for the work that you are doing in each one of our lives. And Lord, that we can have a basic understanding of where this world's going. The world powers that took place. And know that the Antichrist is going to come on the scene. He's going to be pompous. He's going to have looks that will sway people. He's going to speak against the Most High. He's going to attack and make war against Israel. He's going to attempt to change times and laws, and he will be destroyed. He will not be successful, but he will be destroyed. And we thank you that you have let us in on these things. We thank you for this. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. For those of you that have never invited Jesus into your life, one day you will stand before the Ancient of Days. One day, that scene, you will see it, and you will either be judged by the books that are open, or you will say, hey, Dad, it's me. He will divide the sheep from the goats. We want to be sheep. And there's only one way for that to happen. You have to receive what Jesus did for you upon the cross. The nails were driven through his hand and into that tree, and his blood flowed from that cross that your sins could be forgiven, so that your sins could be erased from the books that would be opened. And you have to do business with Jesus. You have to do personal business with him. You can't say, well, I'm going to start going to church then, or I'm going to give money to church, or you can't, none of that. You can't buy your way into the kingdom. You can't bribe your way into the kingdom by going to church. It's only by saying, I give you my life. God will accept nothing less. Lord, I give you my life. Forgive me of my sins. You could pray right where you are. You could sit down in your seat while everybody leaves, and you could just bow your head before God and say, Lord, I want to live for you. Forgive me. I want to receive what you've done upon the cross and take my life and do whatever you want with it.
We hope you've been blessed by Practical Christian Living, a ministry of Calvary Chapel, Tucson. It is our prayer that our Bible teachings would help you to understand and apply God's powerful word to your life every day. If you'd like to hear more of Robert Furrow's teachings, visit calvarytucson.com, where you'll find recordings of weekly services at Calvary Tucson, and also archives of Practical Christian Living programs. We are grateful for your donations that help fund the production and broadcast of Practical Christian Living. If this ministry has blessed you and you'd like to support it with your financial gift of any amount, please mail your donation to Calvary Tucson, PCL Radio, 5170 South Julian Drive, that's J-U-L-I-A-N, Tucson, Arizona, 8-5706. If you live in the Tucson area or you're ever visiting our community, we'd love for you to stop by one of our two campuses in East or Southwest Tucson. We'd love to have you visit for Bible study and drop into our Solid Ground coffee shop and bookstore. You can find service times online at calvarytucson.com. May you walk in the grace and peace of Jesus today.